In the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, please, verse number 1. In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, this is not weeks like it's taken out of chapter 9. This is actually full weeks that we know as like our weeks, 7 days. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the 1st month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as the lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me up upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. And we'll sit down and pray and stop right there. Father, as we bow in your presence, we thank you tonight for the precious, unadulterated Word of God. We thank you tonight, Lord, that we have the privilege to open the precious book and to be able to declare the whole counsel of God. And help us, Lord, as we undertake to look at this precious book that you've given us, the book of Daniel. It's been rich, and the Lord is, I believe, held for this time and for this hour, right before the coming of the Lord. And so I pray, God, tonight you give us wisdom and understanding. May we rightly divide the word of truth, and we'll give you the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in this 10th chapter of the book of Daniel tonight, I'm going to change it around just a little bit and see something, because we need to look at one thing, or we're going to miss out on some other things. And so I want to look at, I believe in the 10th chapter, we're going to be looking at what I call the spirit world. A world that sometimes we're not associated with too much, we think. A world tonight that we don't see much of, or at least we think we don't see much of. But there's a world out there that has an influence on your life tonight that you probably don't pay much attention to. And we're going to look at that. We'll find, and I want to mention this as we go down through it, in verse number 1, Daniel gives a few things here. And he tells us when it was in the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now we're still dealing with the kingdoms upon the earth. Remember that. This whole entire book of Daniel is dealing with worldly kingdoms. And every bit of it is pointing toward the coming of the Lord, and something is going to be revealed to us and brought forth after the church is called out. Now remember, the church is not seen in Daniel. I've gone over that before. We'll mention it to you again. Daniel is a prophetic book. He's talking about the Israelites and the people of God. And here he's talked about his name, Belteshazzar, which is the worldly name that they've given him. I want to remind you of this one thing. Daniel here in chapter number 10 is not a young man anymore. Remember I told you in chapter 1 he's around 16, somebody said 15, some 16, 17, I put it in the middle, said around 16 years old. He's just a teenage boy in chapter 1. We up to chapter number 10. It's been at least 70 years. He's at least 80 to 85 years old in chapter number 10. You put that in the margin of your Bible if you want to. He's around, I'm just guessing at it, around 85 years old. Don't put that down to the facts, but if you put it down, you can say, Pastor Dale said approximately 85 years old. I'll back that up. And I can go that far with it. I can't get you down to the day of the month of it, but I can get you in that area. We know it's 70 years in captivity, and we're talking about 16 years old to start with, and so now we're talking about at least 86, and so I just read off about 85, somewhere along there. He's an old man. He's been true to God. Remember that. Daniel's been true to God from chapter 1 to chapter 10. He's been true. He's been faithful. He saw a lot of things. He's done a lot of things for the glory of God. In verse number 1, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. That means it's something that's going to happen out yonder in the future. It's something that's going to take a while for it to come to pass, and he's talking about it. He saw this, he understood it, he begins to talk about it. But all of a sudden, when he did see it, he said that he was what? Began to be mourning. He mourned for the people. For 3 full weeks, 21 days, Daniel has been mourning. He's been weeping. He's been crying. And if you look at it in verse number 3, he's been fasting and weeping and crying. Look at this in verse number 3. He said he ate no pleasant bread. Amen. I don't know where he had anything at all, but he didn't eat no pleasant bread. Then he said, neither came flesh nor wine in his mouth. He hadn't had no meat nor anything to drink and wine. And of course, he's not talking about fermented wine either. Amen. And I don't have time to spend on that tonight. That's a whole new instruction. But he said, neither did I anoint myself at all. That anointing was getting up clean. He didn't even clean himself. He hadn't even taken a bath. Basically, is what Daniel said. He's been mourning. He's been disturbed. He's been upset for 3 full weeks. This is something that he's got disturbed. I would to God that some of us would get that way. Amen. In this modern day, we do a little fasting. We do the fasting. We do it on our own time and schedule. But really, biblically, in the Bible, when God sees the fasting, what He tries to get us to do is see this, that it's such a burden and a need that we don't even really want to eat. It's not with the fact tonight that we want to give it up and say we're not going to eat just because we want God to do something. It's because we not even... Have you ever been to the place where there's something happened in your life, a tragedy or something that you did not want to eat? I'll guarantee you most of us, we want to eat every meal that we possibly can. And we add a few meals to it. And in between meals. But I'm trying to say tonight that this happened when there are some times and have been some times in my life that I did not want to eat. Matter of fact, if to smell food would make me sick. Amen. Not many times, but I've had them times. Amen. And Daniel come to that place, and that's where he was. And so in the 4th and the 20th day of the first month, he tells where he was. But in verse number 5, I want you to look at this. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man. He calls him a certain man. Clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. Now, if you look at this tonight, I believe that he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus here. Amen. I believe this is the Son of Man or the Son of God. We find him coming in many times in the Old Testament. I'm not going to give you all the scriptures for that tonight. But we find him a coming to men in the Old Testament. But this reminds me actually of what Daniel saw here in the 10th chapter, basically what John saw in the 1st chapter of the book of Revelation. If you'll look at it, you'll find the glorified Christ in the 1st chapter of the book of Revelation. And Daniel is seeing basically the same thing. He's got a little different description. We're at a different time, and Daniel's describing it in his manner and his way, but I believe he's seeing the Lord Jesus as a personal, not necessarily does, and I believe if we've seen the Lord in all His glory, amen, we couldn't handle it. But He had enough of glory about Him here, amen, He had enough glory about Him here that it did change Him. Now the Bible said that he saw this vision in verse number 7. Notice some things about it. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that wept with me saw not the vision. This reminds me of chapter 9 of the book of Acts, when Paul was on the Damascus Road and the men heard a voice, but they saw no man. You remember that? And who was it appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus? The Lord Jesus Christ. If he said, but a great quaking fell upon them. They didn't see nothing, but they heard something or felt something. And then they begin to flee, you see, to hide themselves. So this has got every indication under the sun that this is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ appearing to Daniel in the 10th chapter. Now, I have no problem with that. I can accept that and believe it because it fits. Amen. And I believe we've got enough scripture to back that up. They did not see any person, but they heard a voice in the day of Paul and also in the day of Daniel. Those men with him did not see anything, but they felt a quaking or heard it, probably where it was rattling and shaking, where the ground was shaking or whatever it was. They saw it being disturbed and they saw the commotion, but didn't know what was going on. So then Daniel said, I was left alone and saw this great vision. He saw this vision coming upon him, and here it was, and he looked at it. But I want you to see, and here's what I was trying to get at the other day. So many people have seen so many different things called visions and revelations, and the people, and we even talked about this, I believe, in the ministry the other day, how that they've been called into heaven, so to speak, and their bodies have been taken up in limbo. And they saw heaven, and they wrote books on it, and seen all kinds of visions and things. And somebody asked me a time or two, what do you think about that? Well, I let those people just say what they want to say. I haven't seen it. I can't dispute what they saw. Amen, I cannot. But I can go to the Bible and find out what others that I have got a record of have seen. And I can see what it is. And most of these people that have come back and wrote books, well, they've been into the far country, and they've wrote books and give all these things, and they've got some good oration about them, and they can give a lot of good things and excite people, and then sell books, and people took it, and you know what? I've seen people take those books, and they talk about heaven is so precious because they read that book, and then pick up this book, and heaven hadn't meant nothing to them. Now, there's a problem with that. I have a problem with it anyhow. And so what happened is I began to look in the Scriptures when that was asked to me, and when I run across this book of Daniel, God gave me the thought of it right here. Every time in the Word of God that you've ever found where somebody saw heaven, or saw the Lord, or saw anything glorious, it did not make them brag about seeing anything. It did not make them get excited and go up and down the country and preaching it all. Instead, it brought them to their knees and knocked the daylights out of them, if you will, tonight. What happened to Isaiah in chapter 6 tonight? In the 6th chapter, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he got in the place and he humbled himself before God. And he said, woe is me. I'm undone. Was he bragging on what he saw? Mm-mm. He was torn up with the power and the presence of God in his life. What happened to Daniel? Let's just see what happened to Daniel. If you will, look at verse number 9. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep what? Sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. He wasn't up a shouting. It put him down to the ground. It took him off his feet. Look in verse 10, and behold, an hand touched me. Every one of these you'll find that God touched. Amen. Which set me upon what? My knees and upon the palms of my hand. Now when you're on your knees and the palms of your hand, you're like a dog on the ground. You understand? It humbled him. Now in Revelation chapter 1, when John turned and saw the glorified Christ, I started saying the revelated Christ, but it's the glorified Christ. In chapter number 1, the Bible said he fell at his feet as a what? Dead man. And the Lord touched him. You remember that? So I don't put too much stock in all this that people see. I'm not saying that they did not see those things. I'm not telling you that at all. I'm not here to argue with what somebody said or seen. But I do know from the Word of God Paul said at one place he is caught up into the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body. He said he could not tell, didn't he say? But such a one, he said he saw all these things, and he said it was what? Unlawful to be uttered. So if people want to get that, and you want to look at all that stuff, take it with a grain of salt. I've read after this, and I got so excited about it, and I dug into it, but I don't put too much stock in all that. Said a feller drilled and drilled and drilled and drilled into the earth, and all of a sudden pulled out his and it melted, and the hot vapors on the inside and drilled into the pits of hell. And they could hear the screaming of people. Has anybody ever went there? Well, you said, oh, hell's got to be real. They dug a hole in the earth and heard it. Listen, hell is real because this Bible said, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Who needs those sort of things? We've got the Word of God tonight. Are you understanding what I'm saying? People put stock and things out yonder. And as your pastor tonight, as a preacher of this church, I believe it is my job to inform you that the Bible is the final authority. I don't care what ignoramus got to say about anything of the Word of God. Amen. I don't care if they dig around. Why, before long, they done got to Mars. It won't be long. They'll get in the sides of the north. Hey, they'll think they done gone to heaven. But the Bible says that you climb up any other way, sides through Jesus Christ, you won't get there. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? So we need to get back to the earth and quit trying to live in a fantasy world. And let the Word of God be our final authority. I've got enough Bible tonight to teach and tell you that heaven's real. I've got enough Bible tonight to teach you that heaven's a glorious place. I've got enough Bible to teach me tonight that hell's a terrible place. Amen. And I don't have to have visions and revelations to get a hold of that. I don't have to read somebody's book that's done died on the operating table and got up and watched it and went over to glory and wrote down a few things and come back and penned the book in it. Amen. And so I don't guess I'm too enthused about getting you to go buy books. Just get the book. So, all right. And I guess I could be criticized for that. Help yourself if you want to criticize that. But I'll stand and believe what I got. Now, to be able to understand the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, we're going to have to stop a minute and talk about the spirit world. That means that there's a world out there tonight that many of us don't know much about. And I'm going to endeavor to get involved in this, and I'm sure I will not finish it. I've been on some of this before in other sermons, other lessons, and other messages. But I want to try to look a little deeper tonight and let you use your Bible. Now, I don't want you to take my word for it. Amen. That's why I ask you to go from place to place in your Bible. Amen. If you don't want to turn in your Bible, just sit there. I don't care. Amen. That's your business. And if you don't want to know what the Bible says, that's fine. Or if you already know what I've already fixed to tell you, you don't have to turn there. You can quote it to yourself. But otherwise, I want you to see it face to face, black and white. I don't want you to have to guess that this preacher's telling you something's there. I want you to see it for yourself. Amen. I don't want you to take my word for anything. You shouldn't. But if the Word of God says it, you ought to take that. Amen. And believe it. Now, first of all, I want to talk about angels. Angels tonight, the Bible talks about them and He calls them ministering spirits. That's what they are in the book of Hebrews. But they're certainly messengers of God. I do believe in angels. I do believe in angels. I do believe tonight that you've got one or two or three or four or five. I do believe tonight that angels have kept you alive. I can go back and think it had to be the hand of God. Maybe that time when you kind of dozed off and almost went to sleep, and an angel grabbed your steering wheel and brought that thing back into the road. You said, well, I remember this. I had a son-in-law and a son in the car with me one day, and I was sick. I had an old bad cold, and I'd taken some cold medicine, and
I wasn't feeling too good. And I was driving. I shouldn't have been driving. But who wants your son or your son-in-law to drive? Amen. And I'm a driving. And somehow I just kind of nearly go to sleep and they holler. And they holler. I jerked. I almost ran off the road or hit somebody. I think I was getting on the wrong side of the road. Well, you said it was one of them. Well, I believe one of the angels just punched him in the ribs to holler at me. You do what you want to. And say what you will. But I believe we got angels that watch after us and take care of us. I got some Bible on that. We won't spend the time on that now. We'll come to that some other time. But in the angel world tonight, we have what we call good angels and bad angels or evil angels. There's both. The good angels are with God in the glory world. The bad angels have been kicked out. They're evil. And they've been thrown out of the presence of God. Amen. You believe that, don't you? What made the evil angels evil? They rebelled with Satan. Satan rebelled against God. I'll give you some scripture in just a little bit. Satan rebelled against God and God cast him out. But before he cast him out, he drawn a part of the angels with him. And his job was, he thought, was to rise up against God. I can give you some scripture in that, Isaiah, and in the book of Ezekiel. We'll get some scripture. May not get that tonight, but we'll get there sometime another. But we know that the angels are innumerable. You cannot add a number or talk about a number of how many angels there are. Either good angels or bad angels. Nobody has ever been able to put a number on how many good angels there are and how many bad angels there are. Are we doing all right now? Are you understanding? Are you with me? Are you comprehending? All right. We want to get together on this. So we don't know what number they are. Bad angels or evil angels, after they're cast out of heaven, they take on a different name. We really don't call them angels anymore. So when you say angel tonight, you're automatically talking about God's messengers that are in heaven, His ministering spirits that are in heaven that He can send forth to the earth at any time. And I'm sure we got a lot around. Because the Bible talks about that we can entertain angels unawares. And sometimes, yeah, somebody said, what do you think about them things that somebody said that they picked up a stranger? And I've heard stories like this, I picked up a stranger and he was a help to me and a blessing to me and looked around the back seat and he's gone. And they said his angels. I don't know about them stories. I haven't had anybody like that get in my car and leave like that. Amen. Without opening the door and getting out. But, amen. I will say if we entertain strangers, sometimes we can entertain strangers and we might be entertaining angels unawares. So that's the reason you ought to be good to everybody. Ain't no telling how many of you been bad to an angel. Amen. You think about that a minute. Amen. Somebody come to heck, you need to run him off. And anyhow, I'm saying to you tonight that there's such thing. They're not called angels anymore once they're cast out of heaven. What are they called? They're called demons, devils, and evil spirits. That's what they're called. So when you hear something in the Bible talking about evil spirits, and you hear them talking about devils, and you hear them talk about demons, they're actually talking about fallen angels or angels that have went with Satan. Now, let's look at what happens. Look in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 41. We'll start our Bible study, and I ain't going to get very far in this. I'm trying to take my time. I'm not trying to run real fast and get to where I can't speak plain. I want you to get everything I'm trying to say. So in Matthew chapter 25, look at the study. Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to go down to verse number 41. Matthew 25 and 41. And notice what he says. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and what? His angels. Now that's the fallen angels. Actually, that's the demons, the devils. and the ministering and the the evil spirits. Remember, the devil's got his angels, and the Lord has got his angels. Beloved, I want you to know tonight, there's a warfare going on. The angels of the devil are going to and fro. You said, where do you find that in the Bible, that he's got his angels and what they're doing? Turn with me tonight, and let's look at what the Bible says, and notice what he tells us in the Word of God in Ephesians chapter number 2. Amen. In Ephesians, we want to look and see what he says about it, and see what he says. Well, actually, I want to go to chapter 6. I'm going to come back to chapter 2 a little later. But in chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, verse number 12, the Bible said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." That's whose flesh and blood? Me and you. We're not wrestling against men and women. We're not fighting men and women. But the Bible said, "But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." Against what? Spiritual what? Wickedness in high places. Now here's the spirit world. We're fighting against devils and demons and evil spirits and the devil himself. The one thing about it, the devil cannot be everywhere at the same time like God can. God is omnipresent. He can be everywhere. God's omnipotent. He's all powerful. The devil is not all powerful. God is omniscient. I mean, in other words, He knows everything. The devil don't know everything. That's right. As much as he knows, he thinks he knows. As a matter of fact, he knows more than you do. Amen. And if we had the mind of the devil, and I'm not talking about in the evil side, but if we just knew what the devil knowed about God, we wouldn't sleep tonight. We'd be doing something what we could for God. Amen. Take that to the bank. Think about that. I'm saying to you tonight that we're fighting against flesh and not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So we know that. Also, we found out that the devil and his angels, hell has been prepared for them and not been prepared for everybody else. God don't want anybody to go to hell except the devil and his angels. They're doomed and damned to a devil's hell. When us preachers get up and talk about they're going to a devil's hell, that's exactly what we mean. If you're lost without God, you're going to a devil's hell. It's a place where the devil, I mean, God has prepared it for him and his angels. Not for you. But you'll go there if you reject his Son. Now, in the book of Jude, the Bible said that they are reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness. That's what he says about them. You don't have to turn there. Put it down. Now let me give you some things about angels. Right now we're going to turn the table and come back to the good angels and the angels tonight. And remember, from here on out, we won't be calling bad angels. We'll be calling them demons, devils, and evil spirits. Okay? I won't call them angels no more. I just wanted to show you that the devil calls them angels. They're devils. But he calls his devils angels. Got me? That's why sometimes you mamas look at your kids and you little devil. Amen. And most of the time they're little angels to you, but until they get in trouble, you call them little devils. You understand that, don't you? Amen. Parents do that. Grandparents never do it, but parents do it. Amen. I found that out. Now, we look in the Word of God. And I'll give you a few things. You can jot some of these down if you want to. First of all, angels worship God. They worship God. You can find that out throughout the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. But the scripture you can jot down for this tonight is in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11 through 12. Where they cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." When we get to there at the while, we won't get there tonight. I'm going to see that now. And I'm going to have to come back and deal with this again. Now, this is the 10th chapter of Daniel. This is probably not what some other preacher would preach on the 10th chapter, but I'm trying to get you to lead up to see where Daniel's at. Because some of this prophecy that we're going to see has got to do with the spirit world.
So we find in the Word of God that they worship God. Matter of fact, they worship God more than we worship God. They worship God with more consecration. They worship God with more dedication because they're not sinful. They worship God with more concern because they're holy. That's why they can cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." They are holy. They're also, the Bible teaches us, that they serve and obey God. They serve Him and obey Him. Scripture, Psalm 103. Read that 103rd chapter of Psalms, you'll find it out. Also, we find in the Word of God that they minister and protect God's people. That's what I said a while ago, that we've all got angels that follow us. You'll find it in 1 Kings chapter 19 that an angel helped Elijah out. You'll also find in the Word of God how that an angel opened the eyes of a young man and let him see the flaming chariots on the hillside. So they help out the people of God. We also find in the book of Genesis, I believe it's the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, if I'm not mistaken, where that the angels, two angels, came down out of heaven and come to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, specifically to Lot's house. You remember that? And he took the men, and the city come up trying to find the men that brought them in. And by the way, angels are always in a masculine gender. Never in a female gender. That's why at Christmas time when they put little angels' wings on the little girls and the halos, I'd always said that was not scriptural. Amen. That's right. And I didn't certainly want to put no outfit like that on boys either. Amen. And not all angels have wings. There are some that do. We're going to talk about that, okay? Again, not tonight, probably. But we are talking about in the Word of God about these angels. And those angels stood there and went on the outside. There's one in the house, and they put blindness in the eyes of those Sodomites and escaped and kept Lot out of trouble that night. Do you remember? And then brought him out. They're the ones that brought him out of the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Daniel. Turn to Daniel chapter number 6. We're in Daniel, so let's turn back to Daniel chapter 6. We can look at this. In Daniel chapter number 6, just a page or two back from where we were, and verse number 22. Daniel 6:22, "My God has sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouth." God takes care of it. Somebody said, "God shut it." God didn't go shut the lion's mouth. He just looked over one of the angels and said, "Go get him, boy." Amen. Hear me? God takes care of you through a lot of angels. Sure He does. Not that God is not able. Not that God's not capable. He is. But God, what do they call that when you delegate? God delegates a little of His work. And He delegates His angels to do it. Follow me? Now, we also find that Peter was in a trance and the angels showed him a sheet, you know. And there he was. We find in the life of Paul that the angels showed up. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, in verse number 26, we find that the angels picked up Philip and took him down to the desert to preach the gospel. So they're into the preaching of the Word of God. They help get the gospel out. Amen. To the full extent, I cannot explain that because I don't see angels. I just believe they're there. Amen. And therefore, I'm not writing a book tomorrow and talking about how many angels I've seen. I don't know as I've ever seen an angel. Probably have and don't know it. Amen. They said Dr. Harold Sattler had one of his old cars and the paint wore off the front fender. And they said, "Dr. Sattler, we need to get that painted for you." And he said, "No." He said, "That's where them angels sit. We're driving up and down the country." Amen. He said, "There's two of them, surely in goodness." And I read, so that's what he said in the Psalm 23, "Surely goodness." And I thought there's another in there, "Mercy
shall follow me all the days of my life. So we've got those angels around about us. So just to think about that tonight, here's an interesting scripture. I'm going to have to find a way to quit or place to quit. And look at Matthew chapter 18. Go to the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I want us to look at this little verse. This might help you about your children tonight. I believe every child has got their little angel about them. Amen. I believe He watches over children like He watches over us. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 10, the Bible said, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones." He's talking about the children. "For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." They've got angels watching over them. Amen. They'd do a better job with them children, Mama, than you can. I begin to think I must have had a bunch of angels around me when I was a boy. I look back and see how we swung from the trees and everything else and where we was at and what and all the things we done. The kids, I mean, it's illegal. It's really against the law for kids to do what we did was a boy and a girl. And it's a wonder we didn't get killed. I look back at it and I say, how foolish we were. But I believe we had some angels taking care of us. Amen. I mean, there's time we went out and played and the mama didn't see us no more till lunchtime. And we come back to the house to eat. We're about like the cows and the chickens. We come home at mealtime. Amen. Some of them swinging from the vines and falling in the creek. That's right. We used to play, I remember we used to take a pocket knife and play stretch, and we'd throw it down and hit each other once and stretch out. It's a wonder we didn't kill one another. Why, you wouldn't let your kids do that today. Angels take care of them. Amen. And some of those things, I mean, we was tough. But we wouldn't dare. Now, Junior can't even wiggle much on the beach. They're afraid he's going to fall off and break his neck. Right? I mean, Lord have mercy. They're not as tough as they used to be. They're so fragile. They've got angels. The Bible said in Luke chapter 16, verse number 22, that the angels carried Lazarus, amen, into heaven. And so angels assist us in death. Yes, sirree. Think about that. God just sent somebody from heaven to get us. Isn't that wonderful to know we're going to get us a heavenly limousine ride to glory when this life's over? Amen. Somebody said, I don't want to ride the hearse. I ain't going to worry about the hearse. I'm going to be in the angel's arms before the hearse ever shows up. All right. Thank God for that. Now, we're finding out in the Word of God that they're even going to assist the Lord in His coming. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I'm trying to find the place to quit. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 30. Matthew 24 and verse number 30 said, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He shall what? Send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." They're coming after us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You just think about that tonight. They're coming after the saints. That's what's going to happen. Of course, we looking at the return of the Lord in His wind up here. And I'm not trying to confuse you with that. We'll talk about that later. Also, we find out in Revelation chapter number 20, verses 1 through 3, that God's going to send an angel that's going to grab Satan and bind him up and cast him into the bottomless pit. How about that? Amen. Now you said, you mean God's going to trust an angel for that? Listen, I read in the Old Testament where one angel killed 185,000. One angel. They're powerful. Let me tell you, they're powerful.
They're swift. They're fast. Amen. Remember that. And we look at that. Now, I'm going to stop here tonight, but I'm going to give you a preview of what we're going to have to look at before we get through this little study. I was done enough to scratch the surface and get you interested, maybe to where you go home and study some more about it. But next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about Michael. Michael's an archangel. He's got a specific job. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about Gabriel. Gabriel is another archangel. He's got a specific job. And we're going to talk about Lucifer, who you know tonight is the devil, and what he has done. And then I want to go into detail about the cherubims. Have you ever studied the cherubims? We're going to study a little bit about the cherubims next week and the seraphim. And we'll get at those things, and I believe it'll help us to understand a little bit more, to see what's going on. There's a world out there that you know nothing much about except what the Bible teaches us. And sometimes we overlook that world. And while we are working in the daytime and sleeping at night, the demons, the devils, and the evil spirits are doing their work. And that's what we're contending with tonight. And thank God we've got the Holy Spirit of God and one verse of Scripture, that we've got a lot of verses of Scripture, but this particular one, greater is He that is within us, or in me, than he that is in the world. Thank God for that tonight. Heads bowed. All right. God bless you. And we'll have a word of prayer in just a moment. And we'll have a little invitation, give you an opportunity to come to the Lord. I hope this has been a help to you. Some of it's been a review to some of you. But maybe I brought some other things back to your mind. I am well informed and believed enough about this tonight that most churches don't know too much about what we've talked about tonight. And they're in the dark. And I believe there's some things that we need to know, and it'd be a help for us. So while they begin to play, let's stand our feet with our eyes shut and our heads are bowed. And we'll let the Lord speak to us. Maybe there's something in your heart that's not right, and you know it's not right, and you need to get it settled. Maybe you come in this building with a burden, with a trouble, with a heartache, with a problem. You want to put it down before the Lord tonight and let Him take care of it. Why don't you do it? I can't solve your problems, but I know one that can. I can't change your position, but I know God can tonight. God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above that which we can do, say, or think. God can do it.